Do you know that there is only one God in three eternal persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Do you know that Jesus said He is the only way to heaven, and His death and resurrection bring forgiveness of sins to all who believe? Welcome to the Pastor Study, a ministry of pastorstudy.org. Join us now as we study God's Word, the Bible, together.
Welcome to the Pastor Study. Years ago, I remember it well, I came out of church on Sunday morning and I'm driving to this TV studio to tape three new TV shows. I had my Bible and inside are my sermon notes for three new sermons, and I had to run back into church, so I put this on top of my car, run into the church, come back out. I drive to the studio, get out of the car, and I realize I had left my Bible and sermon notes on top of the car. I drove back frantically to the church, looked all over the neighborhood, and they were gone. And I remember at that moment getting mad at God. And God, I'm just trying to serve you, and why'd you let this happen? And what a mess. And I kind of thought to myself, well, God, if you're going to let this happen, I'm just going to sin. And I had to shake that out of my head. But my point is, when you and I are under stress or we're angry at God, we are more vulnerable to sin. I think my flesh, my evil human nature, will look for any excuse it can find to sin against God. Well, today we're completing our series on the Lord's Prayer. And today we handle these words, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen." Let's talk about overcoming temptation today. Let's pray. Father God, now as we talk about temptation, we would pray that your Holy Spirit would teach each one of us how to overcome temptation for your glory and for our good. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And lead us not into temptation. Do those words mean that we're asking that God will never let us be tempted again? I don't think so. Because James chapter 1 says, "Count it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials." The word for trial and temptation in the New Testament Greek, same word. "Count it all joy when you get tempted or tried, for you know the testing of your faith produces endurance." And 1 Peter 1 says, "For a little while you may have to suffer various trials / temptations, so that the genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold, may redound to praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ." In other words, our trials, our temptations, are good for us. There's an old Arabian proverb, "All sunshine makes a desert." So, I don't like my temptations and trials, but they're good for me. There's a story of a grandfather taking his little grandson up the hill, and they're looking for wood to make axe handles. And the little boy said, "How about that tree, grandfather?" "No, let's keep walking." "Well, how about that tree, grandfather?" "No." Finally, they get to the very top of the hill, and here's an old, snarled tree that has been through wind and rain and storm. And grandfather says, "That's the tree where I'll make my axe handles, because I have learned the wood that has gone through the most trials and storms and wind make the strongest axe handles." So it's good for us. All right. So if when we pray, "Lead us not into temptation," we're not saying, "May I never get tempted again." What are we praying for? We'll get to that in a minute. First, let's ask a rather complex question. Does God ever lead us into temptation? Well, in Luke chapter 4, it says, "Jesus was led by the Spirit for 40 days in the wilderness, tempted by the devil." It sounds like that time of testing was the will of the Holy Spirit for Jesus. And it says this in the Old Testament, Genesis 22, "Now God did tempt," King James Version or other versions, "test Abraham." And then it says in Deuteronomy 8, "God led you Israelites for 40 years in the wilderness that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, that he might test you to do you good in the end." So God does test us. He allows us to go through trials and temptations for our good. Now, if you know your New Testament, you're struggling with this because James chapter 1 says, quote, "Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I am being tempted by God.' For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each one is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. And desire, when it is conceived, gives birth to sin," etc. So, no, God doesn't tempt us. Well, other verses seem to say he sure tries us. And so, how do we put all this together? Because the Bible is all true. It doesn't contradict itself. But sometimes you got to think through on how it doesn't. So, I looked at three different scholars on this. First, let me quote John Piper. "Every temptation is a test from God, and every test is a temptation from Satan. That is, God's testings are opportunities for growth and strength. It is our own flesh and Satan which take offense at the test and turn it into a temptation, that is, an allurement toward evil and destruction." Writing way back in the 400s, St. Augustine said, quote, "If God tempts no one, how is it that he is said in Scripture to tempt Abraham? St. James, James chapter 1, New Testament, speaking of temptations arising from evil motives with a view is to an evil end. No such temptations are from God. But God is said to have tempted, that is, to have tried Abraham for a good motive, for a good end. He tried him in love to Abraham and to all men in order that Abraham might become the father of the faithful and example of obedience." And then finally, Dr. Leslie Mitten said, "The main purpose of this teaching in James chapter 1 is to administer a sharp rebuke to those Christians who wish to find an excuse for their sinning. They turn the blame on God, who, they say, is responsible. God made me as I am. I am not responsible for these strong feelings and appetites which I am not able to control. What I am and what I do, that's God's fault. Though God permits testing, he never seeks to induce men to sin. That James is quite certain of." All right, so let me boil that down. Here's the lesson from all this. God tests, Satan tempts, each with a different goal. And you know, the same event in your life can be a test from God and a temptation from the devil. For instance, let's say your spouse gets killed in a car accident. That can be a test from God. Will you trust me? Would you let me comfort and help you and get you through this? It can also be a temptation from the devil. Well, look what God did. Why bother serving God if he's going to let your spouse get killed? All right. So the distinction is God never tempts with an evil motive. He only tests with a good motive and a good end in mind. All right, back to the question we had a minute or two ago, though. If "lead us not into temptation" doesn't mean "may I never get tempted again," because it's good for us, what does it mean? What are we asking for? I think the clue is found on the night Jesus was betrayed. And he says, "Disciples, you're going to fall away tonight. Pray that you may not enter into temptation." And then they keep falling asleep, and he says again, "Pray that you may not enter into temptation." Well, what was the temptation that night? It was that they would fall away for good. And one of them did. Judas did. And so Jesus says, "Peter, Satan has demanded to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. But when you return, strengthen your brothers." Peter did not fall into temptation because of two things. Number one, Jesus was praying for him. And number two, his faith didn't fail. And you could say, well, wait a minute, of course his faith failed. He denied Jesus three times that night. Well, it failed for a moment. God allowed Peter to fail for a moment that he might repent and strengthen his brothers for a lifetime. So I think when you're praying, "lead us not into temptation," I think you're praying, "Lord, may I not get tempted, but if I do, may I never fall away from you like Judas did. May I always bounce back like Peter did." And I think when you pray like that, God does always keep you. 500 years ago, Martin Luther wrote these words, "Lead us not into temptation." What does this mean? God indeed tempts no one, But we pray in this petition that God would guard and keep us so that the devil, the world, and our flesh may not deceive us nor seduce us into misbelief, despair, and other great shame and vice. And though we be assailed by them, that we still may finally overcome and obtain the victory. All right, so let me spend the rest of the sermon now sharing on how to overcome temptation. Seven things the Bible says we need to do to overcome temptation. Number one, pray. Jesus said again, pray that you may not enter into temptation. Do you do that? Do you ever wake up in the morning and say, Lord, please arrange my life today so that I don't even get tempted? But if I do, give me the strength to follow you. So prayer. Second thing to do to overcome temptation, drench yourself with Scripture. Read your Bible daily. Do you remember when Jesus was tempted by the devil in the wilderness? Every time the devil threw a temptation at Jesus, Jesus threw a Bible verse at the devil. Jesus turned the rocks into bread. Satan, the Bible says you don't live by bread alone. Jesus, jump off the temple. Satan, the Bible says you don't tempt God like that. Jesus, fall down and worship me. Devil, the Bible says you only worship God. So know your Scripture, read your Bible every day. Third thing we do to overcome temptation, flee. You know that never does it say in the Bible to walk into the lion's den and stand firm. Instead, it says, get out of there. Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:22, now Timothy, a young preacher, flee youthful lusts. And it says in Proverbs chapter 27, a wise man sees danger and hides himself. The stupid go on and suffer for it. We are to run and hide from people and places and things that cause us to sin. Don't think I'm strong enough. Get out of there. There's a story of a little boy out on the street, and here comes a man with a big fruit stand. And the little boy is just staring at one of the big red apples. And finally, the fruit seller says, little boy, are you trying to steal that apple? And he said, no, sir. I'm trying not to. Well, the point is, get out of there. There's a wonderful saying, hear this. If you would be free, better to shun the bait than struggle on the hook. If you want to be free, better to shun the bait than struggle on the hook. Fourth thing to do to get victory, fellowship. Christian fellowship. Paul knew when he wrote young Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 2, flee youthful lust. He knew that wasn't enough, so he added the rest of the verse. And pursue after faith, righteousness, etc., along with those who call upon the name of the Lord with a pure heart. In other words, don't try to do this by yourself. Everybody, get into a church, be part of a Bible study, just have good Christian fellowship. For part of my college career, I went to Grinnell College, very intellectual place, very anti-Christian place, still is. We had a little group of Christians on campus. We met in my dorm room 5 days a week for Christian fellowship just to keep our faith. Next thing on overcoming temptation, bounce back. If you fall in temptation and sin, bounce back. I heard a sermon when I was 19 years old. I still use it all the time. The preacher said, every time you sin, immediately do three things. Number one, immediately confess it. God, I sinned. I agree with you. That was a sin. Number two, immediately put it under the blood. God, I believe Jesus died for this sin, so I'm forgiven. And number three, immediately forget about it. God's forgiven you. Forgive yourself and move on. When you sin, confess it, put it under the blood of Christ, forgive yourself and move on. Satan, when you fall, Satan loves it if you just wallow in it and you're just guilt-ridden for 3 weeks. Don't do that. Immediately confess it. Get it off your back and move on. The sixth thing to do when you're trying to battle temptation, get a Christian confidant. James chapter 5 says, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. So here's a woman who says to me, but Pastor, ever since I was a teenager, I've struggled with alcohol. And I still do. And why doesn't God help with this? I mean, what's going on? And I said to her, you need a Christian confidant. You need to be part of a group, or you need a counselor, somebody who regularly holds you accountable on that area of your life. And one more thing to do to get victory. The Bible says, make no provision for the flesh. Years ago, when you could still smoke on the airplane, somebody told me they were sitting next to a pretty fashion model. And when the meal came, she took her cigarette and put it out in the dessert so she couldn't eat her dessert. That's called making no provision for the flesh. So here's a man who says, well, I fell with pornography this week. But I repented and I asked God to forgive me. And I said, and you got rid of the pornography? No. Well, but it'd be too expensive to keep buying it over. I said, no. That's called making provision for the flesh. You need to throw that stuff away. I don't have cable TV in my house. Regular TV is from hell. Cable TV is filthy. I don't need it in my house. Thank you. You know, some of you are going to need to change your friends in order to not make provision for the flesh. I know that's hard, but it's worth it. All right. Those are ways you can overcome temptation: prayer, Bible reading, Christian fellowship, getting a confidant, making no provision for the flesh, etc. Let's now close the Lord's Prayer. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, if you're a Protestant, you do say those words. If you go to a Catholic church, they say, deliver us from evil, period. They don't say, for thine is the kingdom, power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Well, why don't they? Well, who's right on this, the Catholics or the Protestants? I'm a Protestant. You know who's right on this? The Catholics. Because for thine is the kingdom, power, and the glory, that's found in the King James Version, which was based on good manuscripts. But since 1600s, we have older manuscripts of the New Testament. They don't have that part of the Lord's Prayer. And so what we think happened is the very early church adapted the Lord's Prayer for public worship and for liturgy and added those words. But technically, the Catholics are right on this. They weren't part of it, although most Catholic churches now, they do use it, if you've ever been to a Catholic church. But so you can still say those words. They're definitely true. Thine is the kingdom, power, and the glory, but it's just not the original. All right. And then last word, amen. Do you know what the word amen means? It means let it be so, or truly. All right. End of the Lord's Prayer. Let's do the whole 5 weeks. See if you remember this. Here we go. Every Christian is to be part of the church. If you're not in a good church, it's crucial. Our Father. God wants a personal, intimate relationship with each of us. Our Father, who art in heaven. That means God is transcendent. He's separate from his creation. We are not New Age pantheists. We don't believe God is the rocks and flowers and trees. Our Father art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. May I treat your name as holy this day. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. And if you remember, there's a future tense to that. May Jesus come at the second coming, raise the dead, judge the world, and bring in the kingdom. But there's also a present tense. Thy kingdom come today. Jesus be king over my heart today. Come through the missionaries today and bring people to Christ. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. If you remember, there's the revealed will of God and sometimes the hidden will of God. There's the perfect will of God and the permissive will of God. Thy will be done on earth. Give us this day our daily bread. And we learned that refers to all the necessities of life. And forgive us our trespasses. And if you remember, you do have to believe in Christ to have your trespasses forgiven. but it's a complete forgiveness, and it's all by the grace of God. Forgive us our trespasses, but you do have to forgive others, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and the glory, forever and ever. There's 5 weeks. Now, the last thing I want to do is challenge you to do something. Would you do this, please? Before you go to bed tonight, say the Lord's Prayer. And do it this way. Pray it very slowly, like this, something like this. Our God, thank you that I'm part of your Christian church. I don't have to go through this world alone. Our Father, God, thank you that you love me and you want me to call you my Father, who art in heaven. God, thanks you that you are there. Hallowed be thy name. Lord, may I treat your name as holy today. And I won't, but just go through the whole Lord's Prayer. Pray it very, very slowly. Stop after each phrase and do that before you go to bed tonight, and maybe do it for a few times.
Welcome to the portion of the Pastor's Study where we ask Pastor Brock questions regarding the Bible. Pastor Brock, our first question is today, did you ever find your Bible in your sermon notes?
I did. Well, I found my Bible. I didn't find my sermon notes, but I remembered they're on my computer. So I was able to print them off and come and do those 3 shows. Thank you, Mona.
Well, I figured the viewers would want to know about that one. Can't I confess my sins just to God? Do I have to confess them to another person?
Well, I'll say 2 things. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us. That's obviously talking about confessing to the Lord. Mm-hmm. So normally, overwhelmingly, I just confess my sins to God. But James 5 does say, confess your sins to one another, that you may be healed. So it's healthy mm-hmm. to confess sin. Now, Catholics would say, yeah, you have to confess your sins to a priest. I'm a Lutheran. Luther said, quoting James chapter 5, if we confess our sins to one another, and Luther said, strange priest, this one another. In other words, you can confess your sins to any Christian and receive the words of forgiveness. But nothing's wrong with doing it with a priest or a pastor. I don't think you have to. Mm-hmm. But it's healthy. And, you know, I'll just say this to people watching the show. Have you ever confessed your sins to somebody? And I think if you've never confessed your sins mm-hmm. to somebody, that's way too lonely. Mm-hmm. And it gives the devil a foothold. I think it's very healthy when I talk to another Christian about my sins, to get prayer, to get the word of forgiveness. I think it's very healthy.
Okay.
Yeah.
How can I tell if a temptation is from God or the devil?
Well, what I tried to make clear in the sermon, temptations to evil are not from God. Mm-hmm. They're from the devil. Trials and testings for my good are from God. And you really can't tell what, I mean, again, like I said in the sermon, if your husband, Greg, dies in a car accident, is that from God or the devil? Well, it's a test from God and a temptation from the devil.
Mm-hmm.
So,
what about sickness and disease, cancer and...
You know, all of that is part of the fall. Mm-hmm. And so it's part of the sinful fall of the humankind in the garden. So all disease is from the fall, but God uses our diseases now for our good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Should we pray the Lord's Prayer every day?
I think we should pray it regularly. I don't want to be legalistic. It never says you have to pray this every single day. And I personally don't say the Lord's Prayer every day, but mm-hmm. I say it regularly. Normally, I just talk to God. But to have the Lord's Prayer is a great thing to do.
Okay.
Yeah.
Any advice on how to have a daily prayer time?
Yeah. You know, when I was little, my dad was Catholic, my mom was Lutheran. We all went to church, but separately. And when we'd have the prayer before the meal, come Lord Jesus, be our guest, let these gifts to us be blessed, amen. I mean, we said that, and that's all we said for my 18 years of growing up in that house. Mm-hmm. And you know, how much healthier it is to sit around the table. Before we pray, Jimmy, what do you need prayer about? Mom, what do you need prayer about? And just have a real prayer time.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so do that. But then here's another thought. I had an old white-haired Lutheran pastor say to me when I was young, Tom, you need an hour with the Lord every day or you'll burn out.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't do it every single day. I miss it sometimes. But normally, often, in the morning, I'll have a time where I pray, I read the Bible, sometimes I sing to the Lord, sometimes I'll read a devotional book. But that keeps me going.
Mm-hmm.
And so I and it's good to, if you're a night person, you can do it at night, but
A lot of people fall asleep. I like to do it first thing in the morning, mm-hmm. get it done. And I remember a Christian professor saying, I have learned if I don't have my time with the Lord in the morning, I have less time the rest of the day. Mm-hmm. So I think God honors it.
I agree. And sometimes if I don't give enough time to the Lord during the day, he wakes me up during the night.
And to pray.
And says, now it's quiet.
There you go.
All right. I tried reading the Bible, but found it confusing.
Yeah.
Any advice on how to read the Bible?
Yeah. I would encourage you, first of all, it's confusing for me too. We're talking about God who's like this and my brain's mm-hmm. like this. But keep at it. And I would buy something called the ESV Study mm-hmm. Bible. So when you hit a difficult passage, on the bottom of the page are good explanatory notes.
Mm-hmm.
So keep at it. Don't give up. Read your Bible every day. But get a good ESV Study Bible.
I love having those notes
yeah.
to refer to.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
What do I do if I don't feel God has forgiven me? I pray for forgiveness, but still feel guilt over what I have done.
Mm-hmm. And that letter came from a 93-year-old woman. And from what I can gather, she's a Christian woman, but she's having doubts about her salvation. And my response is, so do I sometimes, mm-hmm. but we fight our doubts by the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And if 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess, God forgives, I believe it whether I feel it or not.
Mm-hmm.
If Acts 16 says, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, then I believe that whether I feel it or not. So we can't live by our feelings. Just claim the Word of God, forgive yourself, mm-hmm. God has forgiven you, and move on.
That's what I tell my daughters. You walk by faith, not by feelings.
That's right. Faith in the Word of God, not in my feelings.
Mm-hmm. Are we currently in the end times, Pastor Brock?
You know, if people go to our website, pastorstudy.org, and they hit the F button, that means Facebook, mm-hmm. they'll get all my Facebook articles about all the heresies in the church. And I recently did an article on that. Are we in the end times? And only the Lord knows.
Mm-hmm.
I will say this much. Never in the history of the church has the church been so messed up, where you've got preachers and some denominations saying, you don't need to believe in Christ to be saved because everybody goes to heaven. When you've got denominations lobbying for abortion rights, for gay marriage, for transgenderism, I mean, the church has never done this. And it does talk about the falling away and 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 talks about the falling away before the end. Are we in the end? I don't know. Maybe we've mm-hmm. got another 1,000 years. Only the Lord knows. But I've never seen the church so messed up.
Seems like the moral compass has gone down the tubes in many cases.
Yeah, and when the church is leading the way, mamma mia.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think we got to go, Mona.
We're almost out of time,
yeah.
Pastor Brock.
Yeah, and we'll just ask you to pray for us. If you see that pastorstudy.org, if you want to support us, you can do it there or at the address coming up. But we just thank God for all of you that watch and pray.
And Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
God bless.
Thank you for watching the Pastor Study. You can watch more of our programs at pastorstudy.org. We are on the air preaching the good news of Jesus Christ because of the generous support of you, our viewers. Would you consider supporting our ministry? You may do so at pastorstudy.org or write the Pastor Study, P.O. Box 41294, Minneapolis, Minnesota 55441. May the blessing of our one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and forever.